Hello, my fellow sports fans, and to the ones who might be interested in using their name, image, and likeness, also referred to as NIL. I'm Celeste Norian, a Division I student athlete on the George Washington women's rowing team. I hope you find this topic as interesting as I do. Let's start off by discussing the recent NIL policy for those that don't know too much about it. On June 30th of 2021, the Division I Board of Directors approved an interim name, image, and likeness policy. As of July 21st, this new policy allows all NCAA Division I, II, and III student athletes to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness, regardless of whether their state has an NIL law in place or not. The NCAA NIL rules do not override state, college, university, or conference-specific NIL rules. This means student athletes need to review the NIL rules in the state where their school is located and check with their athletic department for any specific rules to understand what limitations they will have on their NIL. Student athletes competing in states without an NIL law will have the freedom to receive compensation for their NIL however they choose, as long as they do not violate, pay for play, or receive financial incentives to sign with or continue at a program. In short, the NCAA is committed to allowing name, image, and likeness opportunities for student athletes. But let's talk about how we got here. Sports bring in revenue. They attract everyone's attention, boost a school's enrollment, and raise money for alumni. College sports are a multi-billion dollar moneymaker, plain and simple. For the past quarter century, advocates for athletes have fought to get athletes more compensation. The large fight started in 2019 when the Board of Governors directed divisions to create flexibility in name, image, and likeness rules. Many conversations, meetings, and discussions were had. Looking at a timeline, before the large fight for rights over the last 2 years completely began, there were court cases that sparked the most recent NIL policy. In 2013, the court decision of Keller v. Electronic Arts, Inc. was decided. NCAA football was a series of video games that had avatars who replicated college football players. The game developer, Electronic Arts, replicated each school's team as closely as possible. Samuel Keller, the starting quarterback at Arizona State University, was one athlete who was virtually replicated in the 2005 version, and he filed a putative class action complaint, saying that Electronic Arts violated his right of publicity. This came to question, did Electronic Arts violate Samuel Keller's rights of publicity? The court pointed out that Keller's characteristics and plays in the game were equivalent to him outside of the game. They compared his game stats in person and in the game, and they were too similar to have done that unintentionally. Electronic Arts does have some protection with First Amendment rights from liability, as video games communicate ideas, images, and messaging. It is a balance between creative expression of the likeness of an athlete and the direct use or copy of the publicity of an athlete. Therefore, Electronic Arts was not entitled to First Amendment protection because they literally recreated Keller in the environment where he was renowned. The rule of law was that to use a plaintiff's likeness without permission or compensation, the defendant wanting to use someone's image must show that the plaintiff's likeness is significantly different. This court ruling helped set the stage for future NIL policies because at the time, student athletes couldn't use their name, image, and likeness. This meant that companies were not allowed to use an athlete's NIL without their permission unless it is significantly different from them. The following year, in 2014, a court decision was made with Jordan v. Jewel Food Stores, Inc. In September 2009, after Michael Jordan's induction into the Basketball Hall of Fame, the publisher of Sports Illustrated proposed a commemorative issue devoted to Jordan's accomplished career. Jewel was offered free advertising in the magazine in exchange for selling the issue in stores. Jordan felt like it was not representative of himself, but the ad was more to benefit the large company. The issues it proposed at hand were, does a grocery store advertisement in a magazine for a pro basketball player mean that it is non-commercial speech? Does the defendant Jewel Food Stores ad violate the plaintiff's right of publicity? The court held that it violated the plaintiff's right of publicity. There is again First Amendment protection with magazine advertising, as we saw with the video game company, but as in the case, it is not without limitations. The question was if the Jewel Food ad with Michael Jordan was for their benefit or not. The ad was considered commercial speech because the ad promoted the grocery store to potential buyers. Therefore, they were not protected under the First Amendment. The reasoning for this was that the grocery store was promoted through a magazine that was sold at their store. Jordan did not need extra promotion, so Jewel used it to benefit themselves. Michael Jordan's current net worth is about $1.6 million. He did not need Jewel's company to promote him, especially because they depicted him in a way that wasn't like the strong athlete he was at the time. The rule of law for this case was that the right of publicity gives an individual the right to control the use of their name, image, and likeness for commercial purposes. In regards to NIL for student athletes, they have the choice for how they want to use their name, image, and likeness in commercials. This policy helped further athletes' ability to choose how they want to be portrayed. Companies cannot profit for commercial purposes without an athlete's permission and compensation. The same year in 2014, another case was decided, O'Bannon v. NCAA. Ed O'Bannon, a former All-American basketball player, was depicted in a video game by Electronic Arts. He did not consent to be used in the game, so he sued the NCAA and the Collegiate Licensing Company. They were also not able to receive compensation beyond the value of their scholarship. It came to question, was the NCAA's compensation rules an unlawful restraint of trade? The court ruled that NCAA's rules prohibiting athletes from being paid for the use of their name, image, and likeness were an unreasonable restraint of trade in violation of the antitrust laws. The reasoning was that the NCAA was subject to unjust laws because the rules were not valid in which the student athletes and users anticipated economic gain, but the commercial activity did not have a competitive effect on the education market. The game also matched all of O'Bannon's features. It was an unnamed UCLA player who played his position, matched his height, weight, bald head, skin tone, jersey number, and his left-handed shot. Yet he was unnamed, and he did not give his permission to be in the game. The suit also argued that upon graduation, a former student athlete should become entitled to financial compensation for NCAA's uses of their name, image, and likeness. The rule of law was that student athletes should be able to use their NIL to receive compensation if it is not competitive in nature from a company. This case was again confirmed that NCAA student athletes should receive some sort of compensation when their name, image, and likeness are used. A couple years later, the court case Marshall v. ESPN was decided in 2016. In this case, 8 former college football players and 2 former college basketball players filed a complaint that Division I student athletes have not had control of their name, image, and likeness due to television broadcasts of their games. It questioned, did the NCAA violate the student athletes' right of publicity in the TV game broadcasts? This court ruled that athletes do not have the right of publicity in the televised use of their likeness under Tennessee law. The case had this result mainly because Tennessee and the Sixth Circuit already had these laws. The plaintiffs concluded the broadcasts are illegal unless licensed by every player on each team. The reasoning is that the players' NCAA contracts include permission to film and broadcast games and have more publicity rights. The Tennessee law already says that they do not have the right of publicity in game broadcasts. The rule of law is that the student athletes sign contracts with the NCAA and they do not have the right of publicity when the NCAA uses them. This furthered why an NIL policy was needed so that athletes could be allowed certain rights and allow permission for their name, image, and likeness. We've gathered all this information that played a role as to how student athletes' name, image, and likeness can be a topic for discussion. However, a NIL policy for all collegiate student athletes wasn't in place yet. So now I'll talk more about other steps it took to get the recent policy that began July 1st of 2021. But first, let's hear a brief word from our sponsor. All right, we are back and let's get into our NIL timeline. April 29th of 2020, a working group appointed by the NCAA gave suggestions for how Division I should change its rules, including the opportunities and restrictions for future athlete deals, In November of 2020, the Division I Council submitted the proposal changes with plans to put them to a vote in January 2021. August 2nd, 2020, reported from ESPN, a group of Pac-12 football players threatened to boycott the season while sharing a list of demands for fair treatment. This included giving players a share of athletic department revenue because schools benefited from collegiate student athletes. The letter was signed by Pac-12 football players, and they used the hashtag #WeAreUnited to explain the group's concerns. They said, because NCAA sports exploit college athletes physically, emotionally, and academically, and also disproportionately harm Black college athletes. #WeAreUnited. In September and through November of 2020, each division created a legislative proposal and drafted legislation to update NIL rules. In January 11th, 2020, the vote on name, image, and likeness rules was delayed by the NCAA's Division I Council. Concerns were started after a letter from the Department of Justice that was related to the possible antitrust implications of changing its rules. In early March, an NPR article explained how three Big Ten men's basketball players tried to raise awareness for the unfair treatment of college athletes using the hashtag #NotNCAAProperty. The players were Rutgers basketball player Geo Baker, Iowa player Jordan Bohannon, and Michigan player Isaiah Livers, all upperclassmen. Baker tweeted, "The NCAA owns my name, image, and likeness. Someone on music scholarship can profit from an album. Someone on academic scholarship can have a tutor service. For people who say athletic scholarship is enough, anything less than equal rights is never enough. I am #NotNCAAProperty. Protests began around the time as the Supreme Court prepared to hear arguments on March 31st in the case of NCAA v. Alston. It was to consider whether the NCAA's limits on compensation was for student-athletes who violated the nation's antitrust laws. They had a list of demands. By July 1st, NCAA rules should allow student-athletes to receive pay for use of their name, image, and likeness. A meeting with NCAA President Mark Emmert, and meetings with state and federal lawmakers to ensure protections for college athletes. That the Supreme Court rule in support of college athletes in NCAA v. Alston, and to not give the NCAA any power to deny equal freedoms. Now, I want to share an interview that was featured on ESPN with Isaiah Liver and Jordan Bohannon.
I feel like a university or NCAA or a conference can make so much money off one name, and the guy who's like putting all the work in to get to that point gets nothing out of it.
We're not saying that we're standing up here and being ungrateful for everything that we're given. We're given a lot, but we're giving a lot as athletes as well. And I think what we're getting as scholarships is the bare minimum.
These men were influential in the fight for NIL rules. In April 1st of 2021, the three athletes sat down with NCAA President Mark Emmert, and the players asked the NCAA to adopt a temporary blanket waiver that would allow all athletes to make money from endorsement deals next school year while more permanent decisions take shape. Each division discussed future action on NIL rules. On June 30th of that year, the NCAA's Board of Directors adopted a temporary rule change that opened NIL activity for student athletes. On July 1st, the first batch of state laws and the NCAA's new rules went into effect. There were plenty of court cases that led up to this point, but a court case that made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court was NCAA v. Alston. The argument started in March of 2020, but it was finally decided in June 2021. Prior to NCAA rules, student athletes were unable to profit off of their play, and they could not exercise their rights. Several Division I basketball and football players filed a lawsuit against the NCAA. They argued that the NCAA's restriction on educational benefits for student athletes violated the antitrust law under the Sherman Act. The Sherman Antitrust Act prohibits monopolies and restraint of trade. The issue was investigated, and the questions that came around were, is the NCAA in violation of federal antitrust laws by not allowing student athletes to receive school benefits? The court ruled in a unanimous decision for Alston, saying that the NCAA violated the Sherman Act, limiting educational benefits student athletes could receive. The reasoning was that student athletes were not allowed to use their name, image, and likeness. They did not benefit from their athletic status or receive paid opportunities. So hearing from Division I athletes finally encouraged the NCAA to do something about the rules. The decision in Alston could indicate that if the court were to examine a similar NCAA ban on athletes' NIL rights, they would likely be found to violate antitrust law. This was the major Supreme Court case that allowed student athletes to benefit from their NIL, and the NCAA cannot limit academic-related costs. I want to clarify that schools will not be paying salaries for their athletes, but they can sell their rights to their name, image, and likeness. Now that I've talked about some background info, it comes to question, how have student athletes and companies benefited or have been impacted due to the NCAA's recent policy? Players could get paid for by doing TV commercials, video games, autograph sessions, or being sponsored by a brand. I see athletes getting sponsored by brands like Rowing Blazers, Liquid IV, and Be Real. According to a CBS article, University of Minnesota athletes already signed about 150 NIL deals with 80 athletes in 18 sports. One athlete made $2,000 for a two-hour autograph session, another modeled for $300. The opportunities are endless. As a Division I student athlete myself, I understand the work that goes into being a student and an athlete. Putting in over 20 hours a week to play the sport you love while putting in 100% to your schoolwork? Because of how hard student athletes work, they deserve to use their name, image, and likeness. However, I see one flaw in the policy. NIL policies differ between states and even by the schools. These inconsistencies lead to some student athletes having better deals than others. Some players might have more financial opportunities than others simply based on their school's location. This is unfair and can skew recruiting. Some schools don't even let athletes use their school logo. For example, ACC athletes can use their logo and team colors in promotional deals, while other states prohibit that. Some states can broker NIL for athletes, and other states don't let schools do that. These disparities over NIL rights have been focused at several congressional hearings. Representative Lori Trahan, a Democrat from Massachusetts and former Georgetown volleyball player, is in support of NIL deals. According to a Washington Post article, she said in a September hearing by the House Subcommittee on Consumer Protection and Commerce, "Federal action is necessary to create a standard that preserves college athletes' right to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness, no matter what state they're in." It's up to the NCAA, the universities, and the state legislatures to have a conversation on ways to keep the NIL laws consistent across the U.S., so that there aren't discrepancies and unfair opportunities between schools. Looking ahead into the future of NIL, student athletes will be signing more deals to make more money for their name, image, and likeness. And more student athletes might want to stay in school longer because they are receiving added benefits. Although it might turn into a bad thing, student athletes may almost be taken as seriously as professional athletes rather than the students that they are. Equity issues might come to play. Some schools have more money than others, which means that athletes could receive more money while also receiving more money from their NIL deals. So, would the NIL deals eventually play into how much scholarship money a student athlete would receive? How is that going to work? But for now, let's enjoy the fact that college athletes can now use their name, image, and likeness. Brands benefit, and so do the athletes. Athletes have also used their platform to advocate for social justice issues, equity, raise awareness, and bring a positive culture. The world can always appreciate more voices speaking up for change. In the future, I see athletes continuing to lead in their sport and in the community. Thank you for listening to a rundown on the NCAA's most recent NIL policy and the factors that influenced the decision. See you soon.